It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, hello, folks. It's your old buddy, Luke Clayton. I appreciate you tuning in today. Earlier this week, actually Monday of this week, I have five grandsons, and it's a tradition to go down to Richland Chambers Lake and fish with my longtime friend, guide Bob Holmes. Now, I fished with Bob since, I was early into my writing career, and Bob was, I remember when Bob first started guiding. It's been a long time ago. But Bob sets a little morning aside, and I bring these grandsons down. We did it this week, and we caught a whole bunch of fish. Let's visit with Bob Holmes, and I bet you can learn some things and hopefully be entertained a little bit when we tell about the fishing trip. Bob, man, I had a good time, and thank you for now being with us on the radio.
Oh, it's always my pleasure, Luke. I like getting a look at them grandkids once a year at least, just see how they're doing, you know.
You like to watch them grow, don't you?
Well, some of them are doing a really good job of it, too.
Their parents are doing good, and you know, getting to be out with old Gramps here, me and somebody like yourself, all that stuff with kids, and being out there where they can experience the thrill of catching fish, all that is something that's key. I think the outdoors in general is key to making them well-rounded, happy adults one of these days, you know?
Exactly. They're building a lifetime of memories right now.
They are.
We had a good time.
We did. We did. And folks, you remember that you can go to KETR.org. That's our station website, and you can see some of the pictures of all these boys and Bob Holmes, and there's a link there to Bob's website. He always posts very current updates on fishing there at his website, and you can see what's going on day to day. But Bob, you know what? In the real world of the outdoors, we always talk about and we love these times when you can't hardly help but catch a fish by just dropping a lure in the water. Well, Monday wasn't one of those days, but we caught a bunch of fish, and I'm going to say that, well, your knowledge of the lake, your knowledge of the bottom structure, the humps, the ridges, all that, that's why we caught fish. Had I been out there with those boys by myself, I probably never would have had a chance to run in a boat. That would be a nightmare for me trying to ramrod all those kids.
Yeah.
But you know, there was a full moon. And there was a frontal passage just a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
The fish were lethargic at first. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had to use your fish finding skills to mm-hmm. locate them, you know?
Oh, yeah. You know, we set up a regular morning pattern in the woods waiting on the fish to come schooling and looking at the blue herons and the white egrets and the terns. And mm-hmm. this wasn't going to work today, you know, or Monday.
Yeah.
But we kept moving from spot to spot to spot to spot. And by 9 o'clock, as usual, on a full moon night, by 9, something's usually going to start breaking loose, and it did for us.
Isn't that, that's amazing. It's something that I don't know if anybody really understands, other than the fact that what I think, Bob, with the moon phases, a full moon, I think that those fish are, it's lighter at night, they're feeding more at night, and then they shut down early morning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, late night, early morning, they stop feeding. Mm-hmm. And do you think that's it? And then later in the morning, they're, you know, it's time to eat again?
Oh, yeah.
That's it? Yeah.
It's kind of like your deer, you know. They're going to feed all night. They can see, you know, they might have fed yesterday evening late. And I know it really affects the more mature fish
mm-hmm.
more than it does the smaller fish. You know, it just really knocks them off their feet.
Well, it happens. I've watched it in a lifetime of fishing. Now, folks, Bob has built his career down at Richland Chambers fishing for white bass. Most of us call them sand bass and hybrid stripers. There's some... Richland Chambers got some really good hybrid striper fishing, but with these boys, Bob, our goal has always been to try to find some action where they can feel that rod bend.
Mm-hmm.
And where we really got them, where you've really got into a bunch of them, where it didn't take long for us to catch a cooler full of them, kind of go over the depths and that there was some bot. Was there a ridge close by right there where we were fishing?
Yeah, we were on the main lake point, Pelican Island Point, which is two big fingers, and we'd look down one, didn't find anything, and we were rolling across the top of it, and you know, I run that side image and mark some way out to the side, and they were on the break at about 24 feet. And just kind of one school of them there. And you know, after we got to catching, it got pretty good.
It got really good. It, you know, there was, of course, we had five boys and then you and I both. And we were using, I don't know the size of those slabs. Folks, a lead slab, you probably all heard of spoons. You know, for black bass, you know, a lot of spoons are made of steel. But a lead slab. Those were 7/8 ounce or maybe
one ounce silver. Silver shed shaped, you know.
Yeah.
And just as long as the boys could feel it hit the bottom, which was critical because the fish were really, really on the bottom this morning, weren't they?
Yes, sir. They were hanging tight, and the lure presentation was just drop it down to the bottom, and we had. We had them from about 8 to 15, and, you know, various levels of fishing skills, and they were all catching fish by doing following your instructions, Bob. Just hit the bottom and then just pull it up and let her drop, bounce it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It seemed like when the boat would kind of drip sideways one way or the other and let the slab kind of drag a little bit, they'd pick up one or two extra ones in.
You know, that's a tip that I learned from you years ago, and as an old outdoor writer, I fished with a lot of people, but I know when fish are lethargic, when they're not really actively feeding, and it's in the winter I fished with you, Bob, and, you know, you said a lot of times just that slab dragging along the bottom, it triggers a strike, and you're right. I saw you today. You'd take your rod and you know, move it 3 or 4 feet, you know, side to side, and got a lot of hits like that. So those fish they're just laying there, and I guess when that bait comes right over their head, they're not actively chasing shad at that. The fish we caught, I don't guess they were.
No, I think they were empty.
Just waiting for a bait to come over. And then that's the why, and folks are listening to us that fish all the lakes in the area, you know, Tewakinee and Ray Hubbard and a lot of them fish Richland Chambers, Cedar Creek. White bass are white bass, though, aren't they, Bob? They're going to be about the same patterns wherever you go.
Yeah, yes, sir. And they're going to hit about the same baits on this lake they will any other lake. You know, I'm using chrome for these sand bass, and when I go after the hybrid striper, I just feel more confident with something chartreuse, you know, and a bigger bait.
Well, something that I want us to touch on, now you had a real dependable topwater bite, and you were using the torpedoes. And I think a lot of them were clear, weren't they, Bob, that you like?
Yeah, I've always gone with the head and clear baby torpedo, and I go that away because they can see the little blade on the back turning, and it's just about the size of the bait they're chasing right now. And it's, you know, if you're fishing for black bass, you're going to fish with something with a brim color to it, or, you know, a little different coloring. But these sand bass, they like something flashy, so if they can see that little propeller turn on the back, better off you are.
That's it. Now, the bite before the moon phase changed, and you know, people looking at, we're telling what happened during a particular phase of the moon, during a full moon. Well, now that phase is going away. The pattern that we encountered 2 days ago is going to change back to your normal pattern, and they were tearing up the surface, chasing shad on top, and the topwater bite was good, wasn't it?
Exactly, at daylight, you know. Well, when the sun just kind of breaks the horizon, everything seems to start feeding. And our fish start rounding the shad up, and you know, I fish in the timber this time of year. It's just where they are on this lake. They kind of can growl them around these woods, and you know, at daylight this time of year, this catching sand bass on topwater is it.
That's what you do. Yeah. Well, by the time folks are by today, you know, the bite could be back. Quite honestly, I really expect it to be back, you know, here in the next day or two anyway. So it's not like it's over with, is it? You know.
No, no. You know, we had a front come in Saturday, and so we're 3 days behind the front. The wind hadn't turned out a true south as of Monday.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it, when it gets out of true south again, the really high moon gravitational pull starts backing down a little bit. We'll be back onto the normal early morning schooling action.
And that is what is it's sand bass. I've told a lot of people if there was one fish that I would, if I were told you're only going to be able to catch one fish. Or fish for one fish, it would be the white bass. And Bob, here's the reason. With a little knowledge, most people can catch them. You know, sometimes anybody can catch them. But it's on the it's on those tough days like Monday where somebody that's a skilled fisherman like yourself can still catch them. You know, with some knowledge and some sonar. But they're one of the easier fish to catch. I think that's a true statement. They're schooling. They're open water schooling fish, where you find one, you often find hundreds of sand bass. And I'll tell you something else, Bob. They are just excellent eating fish.
Exactly.
The white bass. I truly love white bass, and if it's a big one, say a 2-pounder, pound and a half one. You know, I've watched you many times, you know, when you're filleting that fish, run your fillet knife just a little bit up from that skin, and you can leave 90% of that red meat, which does give it, that's the off flavor, some people say.
Yeah.
It leaves it there on the skin, doesn't it?
Yep. I turned my blade where I'm leaving the fin fat on the hide, and that leaves the red iodine line on the hide, and it doesn't matter on the 11-12 inch fish, it's just not very strong, but on those big mature sand bass, it's strong.
If you trim it back. And you know, I've learned from you years ago how to make fish tacos. I probably make them a little bit. I actually use olive oil, you know, in the skillet, and I use a fajita seasoning, like I were making just regular old fajitas, you know. But man, you know, you can make that and have you some fresh pico and some cilantro and some lemon or lime and squeeze on there. Sand bass tacos are about as good as they get too, you know.
I go that way more often than just traditional fish and french fries. I really do.
Bob, you know what? We are out of time. I want you to leave your website and a phone number. And folks, remember, if you go to KETR.org and Outdoors with Luke Clayton, for months ahead, you'll see Bob's picture and the boy's picture. You can click on there and go to his website. But let's have it, Bob, for everybody.
Okay, it's TexasFishingGuide.net.
Okay, TexasFishingGuide.net, and a good phone number for you.
214-728-3310.
Well, Bob, we'll get you back again soon, and we had a great time fishing with you. I look forward to the next time already.
Me too.
Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website is biggame.org. Made possible by Hoffpower Polaris down in Goldwaith, Texas. You can go online to hpolaris.com and check out Hoffpower Polaris. Also made possible by Texas Motor Cars. To buy cars online, that website is texasmotorcars.com. And also made possible by Sniper Hog Lights. You can go online to sniperhawglights.com. We'll be right back here this time next week.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.